sing if you're ready to care.
What is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep. We are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast, episode 296. And on this episode, we're predicting Night of Champions. That's the big topic, Night of Champions, more so like Afternoon of Champions for us here in America. As that will be, I believe, a noon start time tomorrow afternoon. And so for those of us who have to work on Saturday, we're going to miss it, right? And depending on how the response to the show is in the Discord, that's going to determine if when I get home tomorrow, if I'm going to turn on the PLE and watch it. So, because I honestly am not interested in this PLE whatsoever. Just going to be completely honest. But not only am I going to do that, Wavy D gave us a wonderful pick five or deep five topic. And so we're going to run that back as well. And that's going to be most of the show, right? Let's do some opening thoughts. And the first opening thought will be, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the show, housekeeping, what's going on in the immediate future here of the podcast, right? So I think you all can tell. I know I can tell. I'm starting to become a little bit dissociative of the product, right? I'm a little bit burnt out of pro wrestling. I think there's a reason, right? I want you to go back to January, February. I believe it was after Elimination Chamber, right? Where I told you, I said on the podcast, on the review show of Elimination Chamber, that's all the food you're going to get from Triple H. Everyone was super excited about, you know, John Cena's heel turn. And I was over here saying, wait a minute. Let's understand how Triple H books. I believe that episode was the episode right after Elimination Chamber. And so I want to verify that, right? I believe that's the case. We're not going to sit here and wait too long to do all that. But I told you this was the food that Triple H was going to give you. And everyone said, no, you're overreacting. You're just doing this for hot takes. You're trying to steal the attention. Everyone couldn't see what I saw, that Triple H wasn't going to book us anything interesting And I gave until Money in the Bank, because Money in the Bank was typically in like the first weekend in July, which would be next week. And so the time frame is still about where I'm at, right? And I told you, you weren't going to get anything until the first week of July to sustain you for the rest of the year. So enjoy what you're getting now in February, because you're not going to get anything else until July. So I expect something to happen at this PLE. It's just how Triple H books. Right, he's got to ramp up the excitement going into SummerSlam. So I'm expecting in the next 2 to 3 weeks, there's already rumors of, you know, Roman Reigns returning on the road to SummerSlam. I'm expecting something to happen, but because Triple H, you know, only feeds us in large quantities at the beginning of a booking cycle, which is what I call these things, right? So his booking cycles go from Rumble to, you know, January to July, and then July to December. He does like half a year bookings, right? It's how historically I've seen him book. And because we're getting towards the end of that, we haven't eaten anything. We haven't had any really good, solid product. Since, and I'm just going to be completely honest with you, since February, like consistent, and even within the shows in January and February were pretty mid. Like I'm not overreacting. I've heard other creators and people say this as well, that the wrestling in 2025, the shows are nowhere close to what they should be. They're mid, they're middle tier, they're, you know, I talk about you can be bad, you could be great, or you could be boring, and that's the little place in the middle that no one wants to be, right? And so, first off, I just say that to give myself a little pat on the back, because I think I was right, but I say that also because when you go without food for 5-6 months, and in this analogy that I'm using, you start to get a little irritated. You start to get a little bit tired. You start to get a little bit burnt out. And that's where I am with wrestling. And that's where I am with, there's not a lot to talk about because I find very little on the product interesting enough to actually care to even watch the shows. And if I'm not watching the shows, the whole centerpiece of this podcast, like the crux of the Tuesday show, was built around talking about Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. Right? That's sort of what I built that podcast on, and I did it that way, that episode, the Tuesday episode, so that it would almost force me to have to watch the shows, so that I had something to talk about. But I'm getting to the point now where, like, I just don't even care enough to even force myself to watch the show. Like, the crux of the Friday show is a little bit more laid back. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even watch NXT this week. I read the results, like, oh, okay, makes sense. And we moved on. I just feel NXT, while it's consistently better, isn't where it used to be 6 months ago, in my opinion. I just feel like collectively as a wrestling product, WWE has gotten complacent. I think they're too worried with out producing shows and too worried about we got to stop AEW's product from being watched, that they're not even focusing on their product, right? And when you're at the top and when you can essentially bully people around, you don't really care about your product, right? Because people are still going to consume it, and that's a dangerous place to be in, right? That's why when people get mad, why do you attack AEW so much? because I need y'all to be better. Because if AEW was better, if AEW was an actual threat to WWE, WWE's product's better. And me as a WWE fanatic gets better product. So I need AEW to be better. So when AEW runs a show and it's a bunch of boring bullshit, nothing, the AEW fans might like it because it's a whole show full of wrestling, no story, and it was a great show. But us WWE fans who look at it like, well, we need y'all to be better. We need the AEW that came in and started to put pressure on WWE. We need that type of product so that WWE can correct course and stop putting out these boring ass shows. Right? So that's why I critique AEW, because if AEW is better, then WWE is better and we all win. Right? But with that being said, we're going to do this episode, predicting Night of Champions. We're going to do the episode on July 1st. That's Tuesday, which is crazy. We're halfway through the year 2025. This will be the last episode of the first half of the year. We're entering quarter number three on Tuesday. And, with that being said, we'll do the episode Tuesday on the 1st to break down Night of Champions, break down Monday Night Raw. We'll talk about what happened. We'll give some reactions. Because next Friday is the 4th, there wasn't going to be an episode anyway because it's the 4th of July. I'm not going to be in town. With that being said, I may record one. I'm also off Tuesday that week. I'm off 3 days next week, which is wonderful. So I may record an episode Wednesday. But I'm not, I don't know if I'm going to, because I don't know how I feel about putting out an episode Tuesday and then putting out an episode on Wednesday. But we'll see. We'll see how I feel on Wednesday. But after that, after those two, at least one episode Tuesday, possibly a second one on Wednesday next week, we're going to take a summer break. And by summer break, I mean I'm taking the whole month of July off. I know I just heard B-Master and Kara collectively gasp. I'm sorry, but I need, I'm doing this for two reasons. First, and the most important, is because I feel the quality of the shows are going down because I'm burnt out with wrestling. So I'm still going to participate in watching the show. I'll still be in the Discord. I'll still be able to give my opinions that way. I just need the, it's getting harder to plan out shows and stuff like this. So giving me a month to sort of catch my breath until we get to the important stuff. Now I may break, y'all know me, I always go on breaks and sometimes I'll break it early if something important happens. So there's always that potential. But we are going to return on August 1st. Which will be the Friday before SummerSlam. So it will be the SummerSlam predictions. We'll recap Evolution. We'll recap Great American Bash. Right. And more than likely, I'm just going to be completely honest, we'll probably do a prediction show for those. And so the whole point that I'm saying is there's going to be a break where there's not going to be two episodes a week. And then when we come back, so I did a poll in the Discord asking how people watched, and there was a purpose for that, or listened to the interactive, how they engaged with the product. Was it audio? Was it YouTube? Right. And for most people that responded, it was audio, and which is what I wanted. That was the result that I wanted. I'm going to be completely honest with you, because the recording video and then having to post the video and then having to post the audio on a different website. And a lot of these times I'm recording these at night. I mean, Fridays I do it in the morning, so it's not that big of a deal. But the Tuesday episodes, I start somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m. at night, and depending on how long I go. It's a little bit tiring to have to wait for things to upload, so you can click publish. And there's a lot. There's a lot to go into the backside of the show, right? And I'm not complaining. It's fun. I enjoy it, right? But what people also don't recognize is that each of the softwares that I use to record the podcast, right? So I have where I'm recording for this episode is Talk Studio Streamlabs to be able to record and host. I mean, they have a free plan, but all of their logos would have to be on the screen, and it just doesn't look good, right? And also, you can only do 4 hours a week. And so I risk with that being cut off mid-episode on the Friday episode every single week. So you pay for the pro plan, right? And that's $10 a month. If I was making money from this, I wouldn't care one care in the world about spending $10 a month to do this, right? But the fact of the matter is money's not being made through this podcast, right? It's just not happening. And so repeat it, $120 a year is, especially in the situations that I'm in, we're canceling that. That's the first reason. But the second reason is if no one's going to watch the YouTube video, and I'm not going to sit here and get myself, I mean, I don't look good to begin with, but like, I'm not going to get myself uber prepared. Like, I literally got out of bed 20 minutes before I started click record for this episode, right? So I'm not going to, like, if I can just record the episode on audio, that's sort of the roots of the podcast anyway. And so, I mean, I don't think we've done well over 200 episodes now on video, because we started at like episode 96 or 97. So we're about 200 episodes deep with the video. But to go back to the roots of just doing audio, I think that's right. And then I realized, right, that the place where what I call the host, RSS.com, that I post the audio format on, they allow you to post the audio version in a video form to YouTube automatically, where I don't have to click anything. All I got to do is click the post on YouTube button, and they do it for me. So there's going to be a compromise for those who watch on YouTube, and that's how you get your show. There will be an audio only version of the podcast posted on YouTube for you to watch. For those who listen on audio, you just listen as normal. Nothing changes, right? And so that will start. I canceled the plan of the Streamlabs. I have till the 8th. So this episode, the next episode, Wednesday's episode, if it happens, will definitely be video format. Anything after the 8th, and like I said, I'm going on break after next Wednesday. So anything after that episode will be audio only, with a video posted on YouTube that isn't going to have my mean mug on the screen. It'll just be the podcast logo with audio waves as the right. Anyway. Right. So there's the housekeeping. That way you guys understand where we're headed. Right. And then hopefully when we get back in August, we can get back in full form. Hopefully the product's interesting around that time again, and we can go full form to the end of the year, where, you know, and I'm probably going to build this in, by the way, to the podcast schedule. We're probably going to build this in anyway, taking a break in July. Now, I don't know if going, like, if taking a break in July and then taking a break in December, you know, with the end of the year award show being the last episode of the year. And that typically is about right the week before Christmas. That way we can get the holidays and New Year's and that stuff, right? Building that break in to the schedule for the podcast. So I know you guys are gonna start going through withdrawals in July. I know. I apologize in advance, but I need a break. I need to get them creative juices restored, and I need the product to be better. Like, honestly, I wouldn't need a break if WWE just gave me better product. But moving on to the next opening thought, right? And this has very little to do with wrestling, but I wanted to bring this up because it has something to do with another topic that I talked about. We talked, you know, I consistently go on rants about these women who join OnlyFans after they get fired from WWE, and everyone, I feel like I'm in the minority, right? I feel like I'm in the minority, in that I view OnlyFans as a net negative to society, and where this comes into play is Puff Daddy P. Diddy is on trial, right? For sex trafficking and a whole bunch of other crimes, but they lessened the amount of crimes that he's being charged for. A lot of his charges were dropped this week, and the sex trafficking charge could be dropped if the judge, or depending on how the judge views whether or not P. Diddy had prostitutes or sex workers, because there's a legal difference in the two. This is what I'm talking about, right? Because if they were just sex workers, well, he wasn't doing anything illegal, right? Those are your, like, cam models, your OnlyFans girl, right? But they're the same fucking thing. And this, when I saw this, I immediately thought of a song none of y'all who listen probably know, from a rapper that I listen to named Bizzle, right? Bizzle, right? And he has a song called Wonder, and in the third verse of it, it goes like, why is alcohol legal, cigarettes cool, as long as the government is getting theirs too? The same reason prostitution is illegal till you tape it and call it pornography, but now it's merely entertainment, right? That's right. Pornography is prostitution, right? It is legal prostitution. Just like taxation is legal theft, right? But, and so P. Diddy's probably, first off, he gets off because he's rich. We all knew this was going to happen. I told everyone when he got arrested, well, he's getting off. But, you know, you could be rich. It's better to be rich and guilty than to be poor and innocent, right? Because if P. Diddy was poor and didn't do it, but there was evidence that maybe he could have done it, well, and he doesn't have money to fight that, well, he's going to jail. But if he's poor and guilty, or excuse me, if he's rich and guilty, he has money to fight the charges and to pay off the people behind the scenes. Yeah. You know, so Diddy was never going to do time in jail to begin with. But that's the reason I make such a big scene every time someone joins OnlyFans, because the more we desensitize ourselves to what OnlyFans is, what sex work is, it's legal prostitution, right? And there's an issue, in my opinion, with having that be acceptable in our culture. Because it ultimately degrades women. It degrades men, because men value themselves so little that they're willing to go out and pay for sex, right? But it puts less value on the sanctity of marriage and commitment to one another And those are big things that just me personally, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I'm going to speak what I believe, right? Those are things that I'm heavily in belief for, right? Right? It's easy. Men, I'm going to speak to the men for a minute. It's easy to go find the cam whore and beat off to it. You know what's hard? Being committed to one woman for life. And by one woman, I mean not even looking at the models on Instagram. It's easy to get on the computer or on your phone and get on the hub and get off that way. What's hard is to fight those natural desires and be better and to not be addicted to a substance and to not have dopamine. Like, I get it. I do. I get it. But let's take the hard route. Let's be disciplined. Let's not degrade women. Let's not degrade ourselves, not devalue the sanctity of commitment and sex. Sexuality is a great thing in contained spaces, right? It's a beautiful thing. It was something that was given to us, whether or not, you know, I don't know how religious the viewers are, but it was something that was given to us. It was a gift. Actually, Paul's, it was a command. If you're religious, it was the first command, go reproduce, right? But do it in my standard, in my, I'm going to put it in a box because this is a dangerous tool. And I'm going to use an example, right? I'm pretty sure I've used this before. Water is a beautiful thing. It's a life-sustaining, life-creating gift in water, right? When it's contained, right? I have water in this cup, right? That cup of water is beautiful. It's refreshing. It's beautiful. It can grow life. It could, you know, water does great things in contained spaces. If that cup were to break when I pick it up, now we got a mess everywhere. And it's destructive. Water is beautiful, but it's also destructive. Sexuality is no different, right? Or sex is no different. When it's contained in the containment, and this is going to be hard for some people to hear, that containment of sexuality, sex, is in the marriage, one woman, one spouse, right, for life. No one before, no one after. That's where you get the most enjoyment. Anything outside of that is destructive. It may be fun, but it's destructive. And so that's a hard truth. I'm going to leave it there. Before we predict Night of Champions, though, this might be a weekly thing once we get back to the show in August. I think I'm going to make this a weekly thing. Our Discord's been doing, like, I guess you could do Wordle as an app now on Discord, which is wonderful. It's a great way to interact with each other. So we're going to do the Wordle puzzle here right now, right? I see that Wavy D got it. Kara got it. James didn't. Come on. All right, we're going to play this real quick. Now, I always start with the same word. I always start Wordle with the same word. If you, first off, I can't show it on the screen because I'm playing on my phone. But for those who are in the Discord, y'all going to get the answer right here on the pod. I'm not going to say the answer, but unless I get it right. But I always start with the same word. I start with the word smart. And so we got an A, right? And okay. That's what I want. I want it. That vowel right there. So we got our vowel. Now we got to figure out where it goes. Well, we know where it goes. It's in the middle. What's another blank, blank, A, blank, blank word? Let's see. I'm not really good with words. I'm trying to think here. I don't know words that have an A in the middle. Okay. Let's see here. We're going to go bland. B-L-A-N-D. Because Wavy D put Gunther. Kara put Sami Zayn as a hint. Okay, so it's not bland, but that would have been crazy. So we do get an L, and we have an N somewhere, but it's not in the fourth place. So I'm assuming it's got to go last because I don't know a word that starts with N L in English. Let's see here. Oh boy. Okay. I'm gonna go on the same playing field here that I was thinking, you know, Wavy D's hint was hint Gunther. Kara said no, that's Sami Zayn. And bland was what I was thinking. But there's another word. If N is in the last spot, then it's plain, which has the same sort of meaning. P-L-A-I-N. And we got it. All right. Cool. Thanks for the hints, Wavy. Thanks for the hints, Kara. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to predicting the stuff here. Let's get back to our regularly scheduled programming. Night of Champions. Boy. We get six matches. That's something, right? But none of this shit means absolute nothing to me. A bunch of nothing burgers. I hope something exciting happens. Let's start with Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez. I'm assuming Roxanne's going to be involved in this in some way, shape, or form. So the rumor has been for Evolution, Raquel and Roxanne or Liv, but now probably Roxanne versus the Bella Twins. For the titles. And that might still happen. I think Mabe comes out and maybe attack. I think here's the thing. First off, Rhea Ripley's not losing this match. So my prediction will be Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's not losing this match. Triple H, so Rhea Ripley is Triple H's Mercedes Moné. Like, Mercedes Moné is to Tony Khan what Rhea Ripley is to Triple H, right? They can't book them to lose. And when they do book them to lose, they still look strong, or they don't. It's in a triple threat where they don't take the pin and they still look uber strong, right? Rhea Ripley's not losing this match. And if they do find a way to book her to lose, it's going to be via like DQ, via some sort of way where she still looks strong, because they're not ever going to make Rhea look weak, and it's kind of annoying, right? It is kind of annoying, right? But I'm picking Rhea. It's sort of like I don't pick against Mercedes Moné until they show me they're actually going to let her lose. Mercedes Moné will always be my pick, right? Same thing with Rhea Ripley. Until Rhea Ripley actually loses a normal match like this and it's consistently booked, that way. Rhea Ripley, I'm never going to pick against. So I'm picking Rhea. Jacob Fatu versus Solo Sikoa. First off, did not think this match would happen here. I thought it would happen at SummerSlam. I think Jacob Fatu wins. I do. I think he's going to start building. I think JC Mateo is going to interfere. And I think Fatu is going to have his enforcer or start building his bloodline. And that's going to be Talatonga. I think what happens when the Tongans come back, because both the Tongans are hurt, in my understanding, Tama Tonga and Tongaloa, excuse me. I think they're both hurt, right? So what I think happens when they return is Solo's going to expect them to be on his side. And we saw the tension a couple months ago with Tama Tonga. Does he pick Solo? Does he pick Jacob, right? And I think Tama Tonga is going to be on Jacob's side. I think eventually when Tongaloa returns, he's going to join Jacob's side because he's going to come back and nothing's going to be what it was when he left because he's been gone for a minute. And then they're going to have the big-ass seven-foot giant Tala Tonga, who's going to make, well, I guess we can call a debut, even though he showed up on a dark match like 2 or 3 weeks ago. But I think that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to expand this out a little bit. And I think maybe the SummerSlam match could be either a rematch, which I think is what it's going to be, like Bloodline Rules rematch. And so I think Fatu wins here. I think Solo's probably going to win at SummerSlam. And that's going to push Jacob into the main event picture and going forward. Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross. Kara, I'm sorry, but I got to be realistic here, right? Y'all know me. As much as I want Kross to win this match, I want Karrion Kross to win this match. We're going to talk about Karrion Kross here for a minute. There's this report going around that Karrion Kross doesn't get pushed on the main roster because he doesn't take flat back bumps. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I think Karrion Kross is a very good wrestler. I think he's an even better talker. I think he's a superstar. There's clips going around of various matches where he doesn't ever take a bump. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. But I've seen him take flat back bumps before. I think that's absolutely crazy to even say. As much as I want Karrion Kross to win this match, he's beloved by the fans everywhere. Sami Zayn's winning. Unless, and this is maybe what could be part of the plan, Karrion Kross is the fourth member of Seth Rollins' faction, and Sami gets jumped. I could see that happening. I could see that happening in Saudi, right? Because I think what they're also got to build up with Sami is the next time they're in Saudi is Royal Rumble. And he's winning. He's going over in Royal Rumble. I truly believe it. So you got to have him down in Saudi. So now that I'm thinking this out, Karrion Kross is winning. Karrion Kross is winning. Now that I'm thinking this out, you have to have him. If they're going to book Sami Zayn in that sympathy style booking, right? Which I think it actually works for him. Whereas it didn't work for Rhea. It didn't work for Tiffany Stratton. It works for Sami Zayn because he's a little bitch anyway. Right? So have him have the sympathy build where he gets absolutely destroyed in Saudi. And I hope, you know, now that I'm talking this out, this is never going to happen, right? But I hope Karrion Kross is the fourth member, right? Because that way you have Kross, Bronson Reed, Braun Breaker, Seth Rollins. There's your War Games team for the evil guys. You have Sammy. You have Jay. Potentially like an LA Knight. because the rumor is he might be moved to Monday Night Raw. And Sammy J, potentially like an LA Knight or someone like that who's beloved by the fans. And a fourth, Cody could always be the fourth man. You know, I'm sure they could find someone else in that, in the locker room to put that, right? That would make sense. Or you could look at all the people that have been sort of haunted by Cross, you know, maybe an AJ Styles, right? I'm picking Karrion Kross. I am. I'm going to stick to that one as well. The finals of the Queen of the Ring is Asuka versus Jade Cargill. Winner gets a match for the title at SummerSlam. And I like this finals. First off, I'm pretty certain this was my predicted finals. I may have had Roxanne Perez here, but I know I had Asuka. I may have had Roxanne. I don't remember. But this final, I don't hate it. It's going to be a little bit awkward to see how they fight. They do have history in the tag division. It's a little bit different than doing tag matches. But they've been in the ring together, right? I think Jade has gotten so much better. I don't know what has happened in the last 6 months. Jade looks so much more comfortable by herself in the ring. I like it. I don't know what they've done. I don't know how much. I mean, she looks like she's put in a lot of work to get better in the ring. And so there's two different ways they could book this. This is why I like this final, because either booking makes sense. Asuka wins. She goes out and faces Io Sky. And that makes a lot of sense, right? There's a tension. There's a story. There's history there. Jade wins. And she gets a match against Tiffany Stratton, supposedly. I think at Evolution, she's going to fight Nia. So who knows? Nia's not winning the belt back, though. But Jade gets a match with Tiffany Stratton if she wins. And there's not as much front-loaded story, but there's a story there where I find more interesting, which is Naomi having the briefcase. So if Asuka wins this match, goes off to face Io Sky, here's my thing with that happening. You can still get that to be a SummerSlam match, right? Even though Io Sky, let's talk about Io Sky for a minute, right? We all were so high on her coming into Mania. Or a lot of people, not necessarily me, but a lot of people, and I want to take that back. The reason I wasn't high on that Mania match wasn't because I hated Io Sky. It was because I didn't think Rhea should be in it. Or excuse me, I didn't think Io should be in the match as champion. She should have been somewhere else, possibly building up this feud for the IC title. But I see now that they were putting that off till Becky can come in. So right, still don't like it. Still not a good excuse. But Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair put on the best match of Mania, no doubt about it. With the second place being CM Punk, Roman, and Seth, right? But the women put on the greatest match of Mania, possibly the greatest women's match of all time. Possibly. I think that's a recency bias. I don't want to make that statement. We'll see how history plays out. But that was a very great match. Like better than best. Like one of the best matches of the year for certain. Just give you a little halfway through the year countdown. That's going to be my match of the year so far. And then Io Sky gets immediately put in the back burner with no challengers, really nothing happening. They were going to start a story with Liv till she got hurt. Why are we not booking your champion? Right? It feels like Triple H says we either have to book the World Women's Championship or the Women's Mid-Card title. We can't do both at the same time. Right, we got to give love to Becky now, because Becky's back. And we got to build this feud in. And while we're doing that, we can't put EO on TV to take away from Becky. I don't know. Maybe that's not the mentality. That's how it comes off on TV to me. I'm going to be honest with you, though. Right? But I feel you could still get an Asuka versus EO match built up for SummerSlam. Especially now that Liv isn't in the picture. I think Asuka, you know, if she loses, she can go to Adam Pearce and say, I was so close because I represented Raw in the finals. I should get a chance to challenge EO at SummerSlam or something along that line. They come up with stupid reasons to give title shots anyway. So, right. I think Jade Cargill is winning. Here's why. Because I think the bigger story, first off, I don't think Jade and Tiffany is as a natural fit to have happen as Asuka and EO. Like, you can book Asuka and EO to happen. It's going to take a little bit more to get Asuka or to get Tiffany and Jade sort of booked, right? So that way Triple H doesn't have to overexert effort. Just have Jade win this match. There's how she gets into the, right? But I also like that Naomi is Miss Money in the Bank. And because of that, to continue the feud a little bit longer. Just think of the story. Jade versus Tiffany. We're in New Jersey. Maybe night one. Right? Jade's having a really good match. She's got Tiffany down. She's just about to hit Jaded. Naomi's music starts playing. Naomi comes down. Hits Jade with the briefcase. Hits Tiffany with the briefcase. She cashes in. It's now a triple threat. Tiffany was just hit it with, well, I would have Jade get hit first, right? Tiffany gets hit with Jade. She, right? Naomi's music plays before the count can get started. Jade lets go of the pinfall. Tiffany rolls out of the ring. Jade gets hit with the briefcase. Cash in. Now a triple threat. Naomi hits her finisher on Jade and steals the title from Jade. I think that's a much better story than having Asuka win to get a match that she can have booked normally anyway, right? I think Bianca could be involved in this feud as well moving forward. Maybe Bianca and Naomi are actually partnering together still. And maybe Bianca attacks Jade once the cash-in becomes a triple threat, right? And it's no longer, and now it's a no DQ match. Who knows? Who knows what the, or maybe Bianca and Jade are still working together. And when Naomi comes running down, Bianca comes running out behind her and stops the cash-in or something along those lines, right? That could ultimately lead to a triple threat at some point. And I don't know. I think there's a lot better potential in the booking if Jade wins this match. So I'm picking Jade. On the men's side, I did not predict this to happen. Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton. Guys, Cody's winning this match. He's going to go get his rematch against Cena at SummerSlam, and something is going to happen. Don't know what it is, but something is going to happen. I feel like this is lazy. Neither of the two, in my opinion, should be in this position. I still think King of the Ring should be an elevator for the mid-card to get someone in a position to win a mid-card title. I'm not the biggest fan of this one. I'm picking Cody Rhodes. First thing, what I'm also going to ask, What's the over under of how long the entrances are going to be? Because we're going to get the Cody Rhodes chant for an hour. And then we're going to get Randy Orton's song sung by the crowd for an hour. So, yeah. And then our main, what probably is going to be our main event, John Cena versus CM Punk. Wow. Do you actually think this was actually going to happen? Because I did not actually think CM Punk would land in Saudi Arabia. And he did. There's a big argument on social media about why CM Punk pushed the kid out of the way. I'm going to defend CM Punk here. Not because I'm a CM Punk fan. If I just don't think CM Punk did anything wrong, being completely honest. First off, you could tell it was the security guard who did not punt. Let me learn to talk. It was not CM Punk who pushed the kid. It was the security guard around him, right? That's the first thing that I think we need to recognize. The second thing is, if they had, the caption of the video said they have landed in Saudi Arabia. If this was the airport or anything out just outside of the airport, right, where they had just gotten off a plane. Now, I don't know where they took off from. I'm assuming it's somewhere on the East Coast that they would have taken off from. Let's just assume it was Orlando, just because that's where was Monday Night Raw? Because they probably took off from there. Monday Night Raw, Columbus. Okay. So I don't know if Columbus goes to Saudi. They probably left from Cleveland. But that's still like the East Coast, but so you're probably talking about from where I'm currently at, my current location, 12 to 17 hours, right? Now, I've flown across the Atlantic before. I don't know how many of y'all in the audience have flown to Europe. About 12, 15, I don't know how many years it was. It was about 15 years ago. I flew from, in a day, we flew from North Carolina. Our first stop was in Boston. And Boston was where we were going to get our connecting flight that flew us over to France. And then from France, we would go to Romania, which was our final stop. Which that was our destination, was Romania. And that flight from Boston to France was a tiring experience, right? I don't know if y'all have ever flown for 12 to 17 hours a day in a day. I don't know about you, but if I would have gotten off an airplane and had people asking to sign stuff and take pictures, and I had just stepped off an airplane I was in for 12 to 17 hours, I too probably would not be in the state of mind to want to do that, right? But the most important aspect, I think, of this is, where are they located? They are located quite literally in the middle of some serious nuclear tension right now, right? There are probably strict security protocols. Highlander, who I thoroughly respect on this topic because he's been to the Middle East. Just going to go ahead and, like, I don't want to like put his business all out there, but he in the Discord, he said, "Hey man, you don't know what's going to happen." Right. Oh, I want to publicly thank him for his service, by the way. I appreciate it. Like, really do. Like, I don't think people truly understand the shit that these people saw in the Middle East. Right? And so that kid, it is not out of the realm of the imagination that kid had a bomb strapped to him. Now, having a security guard push him away and CM Punk is still within distance of the explosion, maybe not useful, but still, you try to separate. I'm certain there's strict security protocols. When you have a government basically say that any and all American assets in the region are potential targets for attack. Yeah. Now, I will say this. It's highly highly unbelievable that Iran would launch an attack at the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, because of how easy, if that happened, Iran would probably be blown to smithereens. But the irony of this is, if you attacked WWE, you attack something that Trump has a lot of like history in. And so I'm just saying, that's a little bit of a personal, the whole point that I'm saying is, I don't think Punk did anything wrong here. With that being said, I think he's losing the match. John Cena will win to continue the title run. Though I really, 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 really want to see CM Punk win this match. For everything that it's worth, I want to see CM Punk win this match. But I don't think he will. I think John Cena is winning. So, to recap, Rhea Ripley, Jacob Fatu, Karrion Kross, Jade Cargill, Cody Rhodes, John Cena. All right, we're going to move to Wavy D gave me a wonderful deep five topic, and we're going to use it. He said, pick five WWE superstars and assign them each an artist or band that you think can make an incredible theme song for them. Now, y'all know me. I wasn't just going to do five. I'm doing 10. Five men, five women. Equality. All right, so we're going to start with Roman Reigns. And I'm thinking a Yeezus era Kanye West would make a great Roman Reigns, like tribal chief type song, right? Powerful, tribal, egotistical, a theme worthy of the head of the table, God tier energy. Y'all ain't think I was going to mention Kanye, did you? Gunta, y'all know, y'all probably don't know this man. I'm putting him with Ramin Djawadi. I think I butchered that name. Ramin Djawadi. Y'all don't know who that is? Well, that's okay. He is the composer for Game of Thrones. Gunther doesn't need a song with lyrics. He needs a masterpiece of just beautiful music. An epic, militaristic, commanding, orchestral warfare theme from the Game of Thrones composer best suits, the Ring General. Seth Rollins. We're picking the band Muse. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever heard Muse. We'll give you a snippet of their most played song. Right. So cinematic rock full of drama, chaos, and flair. The perfect match for the visionary. Yeah. I don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. Then we're going to go with Obafemi. And we're going to go with Denzel Curry. Heavy, intense, unapologetically powerful. Right? All fits Oba's unstoppable presence. Trick Williams. We're going to go with Anderson Paak. Smooth, charismatic, and confident. The funky, cool swagger of Anderson Paak's music embodies Trick's whole vibe. There's our men, and now we're going over to the women. Rhea Ripley. Now, it's easy. We could say Motionless and White, but that's who she already kind of has. We're going to do a band called In This Moment. I don't know if y'all have heard of them. I'm going to play a segment of their song here. Right. In This Moment, metalcore with theatrical female vocals, dark and heavy, dominantly feminine. It screams mommy. Stephanie Vaquer. We're going to use an artist, Rosalia. Done songs with Bad Bunny and other people. Play a song for her. Rosalia, a fierce blend of tradition and modern fire, flamenco means trap to embody Stephanie's dangerous elegance. Lyra Valkyria, we use the band Florence the Machine. Y'all don't know who they are? Well, you're about to find out. wait a minute. Did they? Oh, no. Okay. Florence and the Machine. Sometimes I feel like throw my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you got the love I need to see me through. All right. Mystical, Celtic, and ethereal with powerful vocals and thundering drums. It feels like folklore in motion. Bianca Belair. Nicki Minaj. Loud, confident, elite energy. Nicki brings the EST attitude, bold bars for the boldest woman in the WWE. And then finally, Sol Ruka. We're going to do a modern era Paramore. Yeah, absolutely. Paramore would be a fun something like this. If you have an opinion. Right. fun, energetic, rebellious, with a beach punk twist. A modern Paramore anthem fits the daredevil spark of Sol Ruka. So there's our deep 10 today, but that's that segment. Let's end this with some final thoughts, and that is, we're going to talk about Evolution. We are about two weeks away from Evolution, Great American Bash, Saturday night's main event. Now, Evolution is the event I'm mostly concerned about, right? This is supposed to be like an all, the all women's extravaganza, right? And the only match we have booked so far is an NXT match. We have nothing else set in stone. This is what I was talking about last episode, where Triple H does too much, where he's booking for this show and this show and this show, and there's four different shows being booked for, and then you miss some things. We're 2 weeks away. You mean in 2 weeks we're going to build enough meaningful story for people to care about this event? This should have been something that you've been booking for months, preparing for, getting things set in place. I think this match is super easy, or this PLE is super easy. It's a showcase of the women, right? This should not be a five-match card. You should have every single women's title in the company, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, being defended. So that's how you do that. Then you just throw in the rest of the women in a 20-person battle royal. Winner gets a title match of their choice. Right? Your veterans go in the battle royal. So you have an AJ Lee, if she shows up, a Trish, a McCool. I wonder how many women are actually going to show up for this. Right? This feels like, again, another nostalgia builder. And I really wanted to care for this. I just don't think it's going to be what it should be, right? Because I think so I would build every single story for the women towards this event, every single title. I wouldn't have put Great American Bash the same day or same weekend. I wouldn't have, I would have put this by itself. So this was the focus. Stop trying to stop AEW. Make this your focus. While they're doing All In and they're barely having women on the card, and they're circle jerking over Kenny Omega and Okada for the 17th time, and John Moxley beating Hangman Page, and a tag match between Swerve and Ospreay tagging against the Young Bucks, while they're circle jerking over there. The next night on Evolution, it could have been, hey, we're gonna show you why we're the greatest women's division. That's what this should have been. But I don't get that vibe. You got 2 weeks to build a card. You have one match in stone, and it's not even that great of a match. It's Jordynne Grace versus JC Jane for the championship. If it's even JC Jane, because probably at Great American Bash, it's going to be JC Jane versus Blake Monroe. I don't know why I always want to call her Brooke, but Blake Monroe versus JC Jane probably could happen the night before, and I think Miss Monroe is going to win the title. Why do we not have anything else? Is there a resemblance of anything else? I mean, maybe Becky versus Bailey versus Lyra. That's probably the closest thing we have resembled. Maybe a Nia versus Tiffany, but nothing's confirmed. Those two matches themselves, kind of mid, let's just be honest. Though the triple threat would be a banger. I'd watch that. We're gonna negate Stephanie Vaquer to a battle royal? The hottest woman, literally and from fan reaction, in the company right now, is going to be moved up, losing Queen of the Ring, then get shoved in a mid-card battle royal. I don't know, man. I just, there should have been some planning involved, like when all this shit happened, right? You could have had Stephanie Vaquer in like a NXT showcase, winner gets to move up to the main roster, right? You could have done like an NXT showcase that way and waited for her call up, right? I don't know. I wish they did better. And so I would book every single title, all of this stuff. I don't know. Or I would have actually put Stephanie Vaquer, kept her as champion till Evolution. If this was going to be the stipulation, Stephanie Vaquer versus Blake Monroe as the title match. Stephanie Vaquer loses, goes to the main roster. Blake Monroe's the future, wins the title, and you could have done it at Evolution, right? Anyway, that's my final thought. I don't have much more to say. Thank y'all for listening to this episode of the Slap and Mean Wrestling Podcast. I'm Wee Too Deep. Hopefully you guys enjoy Afternoon of Champions. And if you do, great. Have that conversation in the Discord. I'll be at work, so I won't be able to participate. But until next time, on Tuesday, I will see you later. Have a great weekend. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.